Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to social media for Catholic Sports Radio. Are you following yet? The show is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and there is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. There has, by the way, been a lot of talk in the podcast community for some time now about continued problems with Apple Podcasts. If that's your preferred podcast listening platform, but you have weeks when you don't see the latest Catholic Sports Radio episode on there, it's them, not me. Go instead to the show website. While there are links at the top of the site to a half dozen apps where you can get the show from, there is also a comprehensive list of even more on the subscribe page of the website. Merchantside Marketing Group, who built the website, did a great job with listing close to two dozen different platforms that carry Catholic Sports Radio and links for each one of those. I still love the website for this show, and if you are in need for something that you can be proud of in terms of an online presence for your business, product, or service, definitely get in touch with them to find out about the different packages they offer and other services available through Merchantside Marketing Group. In a few different places on CatholicSportsRadio.net, you will see ads from them that say $99 a month. Just click on one of those to go to their website. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Major League Baseball teams have each played over 125 regular season games each so far in 2021. It's such a long schedule that a pitcher, for example, could start out struggling a bit, have his pitching coach work with him on certain mechanics, and make some changes to get things to where he shows enough improvement on the mound, only to have one or two bad games and slowly start to see his old habits start creeping back in. And now all of a sudden he's in a funk again. He really should rely on the authority and the experience of the pitching coach who helped him improve, rather than fall back to something that clearly doesn't work for him. We recently heard more from John's Gospel, chapter 6, and specifically verse 66, where it says, "As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him." Friends, it's easy to turn back to our old habits, but just because they are something we were used to doesn't mean that that's the right path. Let us look to the ultimate authority, our Lord and Savior, and be willing to carry out the practices from His teachings instead of going our own way because it's more comfortable. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played college basketball under the famous coach Gino Auriemma at the University of Connecticut after a high school career as a student athlete that saw her set records in basketball. Plus, she competed in soccer as well. Presently, she is a missionary at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia as part of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students and a part of Varsity Catholic. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Molly Bent.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. I read a statement from you that said, quote, "I was blessed to grow up in a Catholic family where attending Sunday Mass was the norm," end quote. Molly, where in the U.S. was that you grew up? What was the family size, and did you attend any Catholic schools?
Yeah, I grew up in Barnstable, Massachusetts, which is on the Cape, usually known for its vacation spots, but I grew up living there all year round. And I'm one of four kids and have a great mom and dad. And yeah, our family wasn't perfect, as no family is, but I was extremely blessed to grow up in a wonderful Catholic family with a dad who really just was the face of God the Father for me, and then a mom who was one of the greatest examples of like sacrificial love and servant love. And so I know that I'm probably not in the majority there. And I'm just so grateful for them.
Where were you among the four kids, and did you attend any Catholic schools growing up?
Yeah, I was the second oldest, so I have an older brother, then there's me, a younger brother, and then my little sister. And I didn't attend any Catholic schools, actually, no. Was public school my whole life until transferring to Tabor Academy.
Okay. I mentioned in the intro that you played basketball and soccer. When and how did you start into playing those two sports?
Yeah, our family was definitely a sports family. That was our thing. My dad played sports all growing up. He loved them. He was our coach for a lot of the sports we played, and he played college basketball. But I started as young as I can remember, maybe kindergarten, whenever you have your first little YMCA league for both soccer and basketball.
Wow.
And I did a lot of other sports too, but as I got older, those two kind of stuck out as my favorites. And really, really spent a lot of time, you know, working on those, playing club soccer and AU basketball.
In my preparations for today, I saw something that said that during high school, you began attending daily mass with your father over the summer. What prompted that? Or maybe I should ask, who prompted that, you or your father?
Yeah, my dad was really like my best friend growing up. He still probably is. And we just had such similar personalities, similar interests. Like I said, he was my coach. But he never pushed me to do anything, which it was such a gift. It was always coming from me. I loved practicing. I loved going out into the yard. And I would always ask him to come to the gym with me to rebound, to shag my soccer balls. And he would always say yes. He was always willing to say yes. And doing that and just, yeah, even just spending time with him on bike rides in the summer or doing really anything, I noticed him going to daily mass. And oftentimes I wanted to get in like a track workout or something in the summer and do my sprints and stuff like that. And he's like, okay, going to daily mass, we can go after. And so I just started going with him. And even when I was younger, I was never a kid who kind of put up a fight going to mass. I always kind of enjoyed it. I loved listening to the gospels and to the priest's homilies. It was just kind of like, I have this beautiful witness in my dad who actually started going to daily mass after my little sister was born. She's born with Down syndrome, and it kind of reignited this flame for his faith and the trust in the Lord that, you know, his plan is better than anything we could imagine. And what a gift it is to have my little sister as like a constant presence of that. But really it was just kind of following in my dad's footsteps.
You mentioned in there, you said he was my coach. Was he actually your coach of one of your teams, or do you just mean your biggest fan, your biggest supporter, always tried to help you with your different sports that you were playing?
Yeah, both. He was my soccer coach when I was younger, you know, up until like middle school. He never coached my high school soccer team. And then when I went to our public school, Barnesville High School, for my first 3 years, 8th grade through 10th grade, my dad coached the high school team those 3 years. So he coached me all growing up in basketball and then continued on in high school. And yeah.
So meanwhile, as I mentioned in the intro, you were having a record-setting high school career in basketball, but then you changed schools. Why was that?
Yeah. First of all, I've had a lot of time to pray about it and reflect on my path that the Lord has had me on. And it's so clear that his hand was in everything. My dad actually was approached by the basketball coach at Tabor, I think before my freshman year of high school. And my dad never told me about it because he had just taken the job as my public school coach. And, you know, as any father would, he'd want to coach his daughter. And so that kind of delayed my Tabor career a little bit, but I wouldn't have wanted any other way. Then my sophomore year of high school, when I was still at Barnstable, the basketball coach at Tabor kind of approached, I'm sure he approached my dad again. And then my dad gave him the go ahead and he came up to me and at an AAU tournament and just kind of got talking to him there. And it was just a great opportunity to kind of pursue athletics at a little bit of a higher level, and to be challenged by having teammates that also wanted to play at the collegiate level. And then also in the classroom too, you know, there's a little bit smaller class sizes, a little bit more of an opportunity for advanced courses and things like that. And so, it was sad to leave Barnstable and to leave my friends. But it was a great opportunity, and I was pretty confident in that the Lord, even though I didn't really have a prayer life at that time, he made it very clear in my heart that that's where I wanted to go.
Well, you know, sports teaches us a lot of lessons that are applicable to our everyday life. Mm-hmm. And certainly our Catholic faith is the foundation that we should make our decisions from. And you used the word challenges in something that you just said, and I wonder, mm-hmm. how helpful was it to have such firmly grounded Catholic parents when it came to the challenge of having a younger sister with Down syndrome? Because I'm sure that there were other people, other friends, other kids that came to you that either had questions or unfortunately maybe might not have said the nicest things. And so I'm envisioning your parents mm-hmm. kind of raising you from a Catholic perspective as to how to handle this challenge in life, which is bigger than any challenge than someone is going to face on a basketball court.
Yeah. I think, you know, my parents and I don't really talk too deeply about our faith. I think we probably, my goal is to try to have that more of a topic of conversation. I did my dad a little bit. But yeah, you can just tell that it grounds how they act in everyday life. And so my mom, like I said, is one of the most selfless individuals I've ever encountered. And she's a fighter. She really is. And she fought for, and still does for my sister, and, just giving her so many opportunities. And at the same time, watching both my parents just love my sister so well. It takes kids with Down syndrome a little bit longer to learn things. Development is delayed, but at no point did I see either of them get frustrated with her or kind of like even just groan or mumble or like roll their eyes. It was always out of love. Like,
beautiful.
No matter how, like, even if it took her a little bit longer to like get potty trained, for instance, it was never like, and they never walked around embarrassed with her or anything like that. And so again, just kind of learning, they never really said anything to us, or at least that I remember outright, but just the way that they acted and loved her.
Yeah.
And I saw it with my older brother too. He very much, favors my little sister, I would say. And with my younger brother too, just my siblings love her so well.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. When you received an offer to play Division I basketball at the University of Connecticut, was that a dream come true or was it answered prayers? Meaning, was that something that you were asking God for or not necessarily?
I wasn't really asking God for much that I remember throughout my high school career, other than kind of like a superstitious almost prayer before games and practices, like, Lord, help me play well and help me to stay safe. And it was very much it really was borderline like superstitious. And so it was definitely a dream come true. I just grew up, you know, from New England, loving watching UConn women's basketball. As a women's basketball fan, I loved them. I loved it's so incredible the opportunities that young kids are like given to kind of enter into their team a little bit through different, I guess, media outlets and books. I read a couple books from either former players or that coach wrote and, or about coach, and everything about the program I just loved. And I just loved basketball so much that was kind of like the ultimate goal and the ultimate dream, but it never really felt like a reality or that it could happen. So it was the closest thing I think you could come to a dream come true.
Nice. For the audience, you might be surprised to hear that someone who is now a focused missionary had basketball and succeeding in that sport as her main priority when she got to college. Pursuing Jesus was not number one for her. But before I have Molly walk us through that, I do ask for your continued prayers for my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. This has been a very challenging week for me, specifically as it relates to some of the behind-the-scenes mechanics of continuing to put this show together and ensure that I have a new episode for you, a new guest for you, on time every week. So your prayers are so very much appreciated to help keep all this going. As you know, this is not anything that I get paid for, and I am the only one doing all the tasks involved with keeping the Catholic Sports Radio Ministry operating on and off the air. That unfortunately includes facing all the expenses that come with it. Since I don't get any income from this and I don't have any sponsors, it means that I have to try to find a way to cover all the costs myself out of my own pocket. Thankfully, there have been listeners and even guests who have contributed financially to Catholic Sports Radio, although I can say for sure that there is a deficit, and one of my prayers has to be for increased financial support. On lots of episodes of this show, I have detailed specific costs to help be transparent with what the expenses are that your contribution helps with. I ask that you pray about this ministry as part of your tithing. I trust that you are getting value out of listening to Catholic Sports Radio and that it's helping you in your faith life. I want to be obedient to the call I felt from God to do this show and to try to move as many people as I can in their faith life. It's very simple and convenient to bless this show financially. You can utilize the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. There are no minimums, and there's not even a drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. It's fast and easy when you utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Alternatively, as some folks have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will write you back with where you can send a check to. I'll happily even say your name when you support the show with an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Molly, talk about what I started to allude to before I went into that break. You showed up at UConn ready to play basketball and were all about your own will and seeking satisfaction from results on the basketball court, yes?
Yes, definitely. So, yeah, I came to UConn. We arrived the summer before our freshman year and go pretty quickly into, yeah, just diving into life with the team, with practices, with training. And again, just through the grace of God, I still felt this push to go to Mass and to go to Mass, even daily Mass, whenever it fit into my schedule. So I was doing that, but it wasn't what was, the Lord is not who was driving, my decisions or what was driving my decisions. It was all about kind of pursuing this love of basketball and at the same time really wanting to succeed. And I don't think it was in kind of like this, I want glory type of, thankfully the Lord kind of protected me with that. It wasn't really a seeking self-glory, just a seeking a love. And I read recently, like in a book about Mary Magdalene that a good friend gave me, that when we seek like love outside of the ultimate love and the infinite love, we're just left with kind of like this deep lack of fulfillment. And like this sad frustration. And when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, that was me. I kept doing everything I could to succeed. And so I'd get into the gym, more, I would work out more, because all of a sudden the only thing I could control or felt like I could control was, kind of like my fitness. And so I'd get into the gym and run more, and no matter how much I continued to work and put time in, I just kept failing. By any worldly standards. And it wasn't just in the games, which were viewed by a lot of people. It was in practice. And so coach sets up practice where, he almost doesn't want us to succeed. He wants practices to be so hard that the games are easy. And so we play against guys, and he puts almost impossible restraints on us in terms of like what we can do on the court in order to score. He's very much like chasing perfection and wants us to chase that too. No, like, but he also knows that, you know, perfection is impossible really, but he wants us to get as close as we can, and he makes it very challenging. And so the reality of playing for UConn is every day you're going to be failing. And I just wasn't used to that at all. I was someone who like relied heavily on my athleticism and kind of just like my feel for the game and my love of the game. And I kind of got into the zone in high school and just, it was like, I was never thinking. All of a sudden I get to UConn and everyone, almost everyone, especially the guys that I'm playing against every day are faster and stronger. And there's girls that are so incredibly talented. And I just wasn't playing well. And at the same time, I was receiving a scholarship. I was receiving food after practices. I was receiving different kind of checks that we got. I was receiving clothes and shoes and feeling like I was giving nothing back. So it was kind of like a mixture of, man, I'm failing all the time. And these coaches trusted me to come in and to perform and to help them win. And I just felt like I couldn't do that. And at the same time, losing a love that I just was what drove me my whole life. Mm. Like I started losing my love for basketball.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And for the audience, what Molly is describing took place over quite some period of time. We're talking freshman, sophomore, and junior years.
Yeah.
So Molly, what got you to finally change the way you were approaching things come time for your senior year at UConn?
Yeah, well, during those 3 years, kind of on like my decline as I hit, I'm laughing about it now, but it was really hard. Like my decline where I almost hit rock bottom before my senior year, which no one really could tell, I think, on the outside, because I'm a very joyful person. I like to say I'm a big joy person. I love radiating and allowing the Lord to radiate joy through us. But throughout those 3 years, starting my freshman year, I met a Focus missionary and a Varsity Catholic missionary named Katie, who started pursuing me really, really deeply in friendship. And at first I was kind of like, I had walls up and I was like, no, I'm good. I have my friends. I have my team in the basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my idea of how I want to spend my time, and I go to Mass and I love it, but all the other time I have, I want to spend devoting to basketball and to schoolwork and to spending time with my teammates.
Yeah.
And so it took a little while for me to open up to Katie, but I was going to her weekly Bible study whenever, again, it fit my schedule. I would never really make extra time for it. My first 3 years, and that was with other athletes, which is really cool. And then I was also just kind of meeting up with her every now and then. She would always ask to get coffee, to talk. She just wanted to get to know me, and she wanted to know my heart, and she wanted to see how the Lord was working in it.
Hmm.
And whenever she asked me how I was doing, I gave a typical, "Oh, I'm good. Things are good" answer. And she could tell that I wasn't, and she would just stare at me or ask me more direct questions, whether it was like, "Oh, why are you good?" Or, "Oh, why are things hard? How, like, what is going on in your heart?" Which are just questions that are never really asked.
Mm.
And she also just radiated a joy that I'd never seen before, and kind of like a freedom. And she also spoke of Jesus like he was a real person, which I know to be true now, but I had never actually heard anyone, or maybe I did in high school and just never was aware of it. But Katie was the first person my age to speak of Jesus like he was a person and a living person and our friend and someone who we were meant to have a relationship with. And that just was like, when I first heard her speaking like that, I was like, this girl is crazy. I'm kind of backed off a little bit, but yeah, it was just her caring for me and her kind of encouraging me to really enter into my own heart and to learn how the Lord was speaking to me. And she encouraged me to pray, but again, I just didn't. I kept going to Mass, but I didn't pray. So that kind of led me into this kind of more awareness of Jesus Christ, the person, and of God who has a hand in everything. And then, yeah, over the 3 years, I got closer and closer to Katie, but would never really accept her invitations to either develop a prayer life or to join the Catholic community on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I never really went to any events or anything like that. And I know now, I'm like sure that Katie was just praying really hard for me too and fasting. And it just bore like this incredible fruit, all of her work all the work that the Lord did through her, kind of my senior year, when it was the summer before my senior year. We had already had our summer session at school, and I was home for about a month and a half, and I was going to daily mass, and it was just so hard to get into the gym every day. My dad was great, and he was always the one who helped me get through my workouts that the coaches gave us. But every day after mass, I kind of was just angry and upset, and just kind of kept, I kept asking, like, and praying to God, like, why did you take this love from me? Like, my whole life was to play basketball as long as I could. And now all of a sudden I don't love it anymore. I'm not even at a point where I feel like I could, because I've just been failing for so long. I don't remember the day. I don't remember anything. I just remember being in our church at home one time after mass and really just saying outright in prayer, like, okay, God, I give up, because my plans have not come true. I don't get why you put me at UConn. I feel like I could have been much better off going to a different college that I was planning on going on before UConn kind of came into the picture. And it was really at that moment where I just like verbally released control, that he was probably just like, all right, now you're ready. Like now all the walls and all the in your heart are like ready to just receive my mercy. And so I came back my senior year and immediately just had this weird change of heart where I wanted to say yes to everything the missionaries offered to me. And so Katie was no longer there. She spent 3 years at UConn and then left Focus. But a new VC missionary named Aaron came in, along with a pretty new team of missionaries. There are five of them total. One of whom was there for most of my college career, but I never really talked to him at all. And he is now the team director there. And it was like this crazy experience of being welcomed into their team life and into their family almost. Where I just got to experience this joy that they all together radiated. And I was captivated by it, and I just couldn't get enough of spending time with them. And a lot of time in the beginning, it kind of started off as just, going over to their house with other students for dinner or for breakfast, or driving to a Saturday mass with them. It all happened pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I got to know Aaron really well and the other four missionaries really well. And it's then that led into a life of prayer and going to adoration and kind of understanding and feeling more, like I had this relationship with Christ.
Wow.
And it was like crazy. It was mind blowing. It's like, I just want more and more of this. That's kind of where I was really pretty early on in the fall of my senior year.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. So now you are a missionary at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Did you pursue a role with Focus, or did they come to you with the opportunity?
So Katie, the missionary that was there my first 3 years, she actually asked me the spring of my junior year if I'd ever consider joining Focus or being a missionary. And I thought, I was like, what does this girl see in me? Because no, and I didn't say that outright. I was like, you know what? I don't think so. No, never really thought about it and put it out of my mind. But then as I started spending more and more time with the UConn team, and seeing how they lived and that their whole life was centered around Christ and getting to know him, so that they could then like share him with other people and help others get to know him. I just was falling in love with getting to know Jesus. And in my mind, it was a very similar feeling, to when I received an offer from UConn, where it's just like, yeah, of course. Like, there's nothing else that my heart was made for other than this at this moment. And so, yeah, they were the ones that articulated, like, Aaron is like, hey, do you want to, like, send in this application? It's due, like, at the beginning of October. It's not, like, committing to anything. And it was just kind of like, yeah, it was just one of the, another yes that I had already committed to, like, saying yes to everything. And it was very, like, natural. And it was almost like, yeah, of course, this is the next thing that he has store for me.
Yeah, it sounds like a very logical progression. So what does a typical day look like for you in this role that you have at the University of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, well, our day starts off with a holy hour and then a team meeting and mass. So that's our typical morning, which is great. Like, who else gets to say that praying is a mandatory part of their job? And then, so our mornings are pretty much filled with that. And then in the afternoons, it's like up to us to build our quote unquote schedule, which is really just investing in students. And so what that could look like is leading Bible studies, preparing for Bible studies, leading discipleship, which is kind of like this mentorship program we have with students in small groups, preparing for that, just praying intercessory prayer around campus, meeting up casually with students, to kind of like Katie did with me for 3 years, like seeing how I'm doing. It's like, you never know. It's an adventure. It's something where you have to walk around with like open hands of like, Lord, okay, what do you want for me today? Cause this is my schedule right now. It could be packed some days. It could have some moments of like, oh, what am I going to do? And he always fills it. He always fills it, whether it's with a simple interaction with someone, or just time to pray for other people.
Well, yeah. And that leads me into a great set up for this final question that I have for you, which is that you are in a position where you're basically working for the kingdom every day. So it could be argued that it's easy for you to make time for your faith. Talk to those in the audience who struggle with finding time for God in their daily lives because of being busy with work, being busy with family, everyday demands on their time.
Yeah, that's a great question. And to kind of answer it, I'll give like sports as an example.
Yeah.
That's why Varsity Catholic is so cool. Like, if you're approached by someone, I'm thinking in terms of like an athlete, if you're approached by someone who's not maybe a college athlete or never was, your first instinct is like, okay, what do you mean I have time to like pray? I'm running around like crazy trying to get to practice and workouts and do my homework and go to class. And so to have a division of focus like Varsity Catholic, where we're like former athletes ourselves who lived the demanding schedule of an athlete at some point in our career, it kind of gives us like this opportunity to relate to the student athlete that we're working with. Yes, we have to make time for like silent mental prayer. And like, if possible, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But where you are as a college student, as a college athlete, or as someone in the workforce, as someone with a family, you're not called to like sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament for hours on end. You're actually called to live your life and to bring Christ with you. And our life is supposed to be a prayer. A saint said that. I don't know who. We make time for our own personal prayer, whether that's 15 minutes if you're there, or 30 or a half an hour. And that gives you the strength to carry. Yeah, and in Mass, too, and receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. And that gives us the strength to go out and do our work every day and to encounter people. We couldn't live the rest of our life as a prayer if we weren't like intentionally giving Jesus one-on-one time, or receiving him in the Eucharist, or receiving the sacrament of confession. Like, it's just impossible. And so I guess that would be the advice is don't immediately be like, oh, I don't have enough time. I know Erin, the Varsity Catholic missionary that was there my senior year, she just encouraged me at the start to like, she challenged me really to be like, okay, just wake up a half an hour earlier and pray with the gospel in your room every morning. I was like, okay, I can do that. Like, it's almost like this habit of an athlete, when you're challenged and are given a task, you can do it. And all of a sudden the task becomes something that you look forward to, and like choose to do yourself, and it makes it personal.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And that's going to lead me perfectly into our closing prayer, this thought of persistence that you're recommending here. But I do want to properly and formally thank you first, Molly, for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I enjoyed it, and I appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And God bless you for the work that you're doing. And audience, I encourage you to pray for Molly, and Molly, that you'll continue to persevere in what you're doing there.
Thank you.
So listeners, let's close with a prayer together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And when you can never tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.